song is, in my opinion, a continuance of what we prayed about during communion. We're declaring things over our church. We're declaring things over our lives. We will see miracles. Amen. And we see miracles each and every day. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we know that we see miracles each and every day in our lives when we believe, when we have faith. And God, thank you that when we live a life that you've called us to live, when we live a holy life, a faith-filled life, a blessed life, Father, that we will continue to see miracles in our life, in our families, in our church, in our community, God. Father, we thank you for the miracles we see. Thank you for the miracles that we get to be a part of. Thank you for the life we get to be a part of, Father, here on earth. And just for the preparation to live with you for eternity in heaven. God, we pray that you'll be with us this morning. Father, I pray that you will remind us this morning of the fact that you've called us to something so much greater than ourselves. Father, we pray that you'll just lead us and guide us today. Open up our hearts and open up our minds. Father, I pray that as we go through our life every morning, Father, that we declare, as Nathan had prayed over us as a church this morning, Father, that we would declare those things over our lives and that we would stand in them fully. We wouldn't cower on them, that we wouldn't doubt, but we would stand fully in faith for those things. God, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you, music team. Can you hear me okay? Am I loud enough? Yeah? Okay, good. So we're in our series, I'm In, and I'm going to pick up there. Nathan spoke last week, and I listened to it, and I enjoyed his message, so thank you, Nathan, for that. It was great. So, I'm in. My goal is to change your opinion or your assessment of yourself this week. And this week I want you to change your assessment of yourself to being that of an influencer. I'm in. So four big things we're going to be looking at for this series. This is the third. So week number one, I'm in, was I'm invited, right? We're all invited to be part of God's family. We're invited to do something, to get activated, to be mobile for Him. And then 2 weeks ago when we did our second week of the series, it was I'm invaluable. I'm invaluable to God's work. I have an important role to play in God's work. Whether I think so or not, I do. He's told me I do. I'm invaluable to the work that He's called us to do as a church. And then today I want to talk about how I'm influential for God's glory here on earth and in this community. And I really believe that we far too often don't see ourselves as God sees us. Far too often. We view ourselves as defeated too often. We view ourselves as, oh, it's just me. And I've actually heard, and I understand the spirit behind the person's prayer, but I've actually heard pastors pray, oh, it's just me, God. It's just me. What? It's just me? It's just me. That's false humility, guys, first off. And secondly, He wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to Him. It'd be like me going up to Stacy and saying, just me. She wants to hear my voice, surprisingly enough. She wants to talk to me. It's not like, well, it's just me. No. Hey, Stace, how's it going? Right? That's the conversation that God wants to have. He wants us to have that conversation. Hey, God. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not, hey, God, it's me. I was wondering if you could help me here. That's not what it's about. He's called us to something greater. So we have opportunities in this community to be influencers. And we need to start viewing ourselves as God views us. We're influencers for God's work. See, to see ourselves as God sees us, we need to believe that we're called to be a light in this world. and to show the love of God day in and day out to others. That's one of the main ways to be an influencer. You have no idea how in your life, how one conversation, one word of encouragement you give somebody, one expression of love, how that can change somebody's life. Did you know that? Did you know you can influence people just by your words? Because in reality, we influence everything by our words, don't we? We change the energy in a room by our words. So why wouldn't we think we can change and influence someone's life by our words? I believe that culture has hijacked the term influencer. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. So if you go online, you do some research, and you try to figure out what different articles and writers would say about influencers, when you type in what is an influencer, the first definition that will come up is likely one that says this: an influencer is an individual who has the power to affect purchase decisions or others because of their authority, knowledge, or relationship with the audience. Really? That's what an influencer is? What's that? Yeah, exactly. But that's what an influence, that's what the definition is. So, someone who influences purchases because they have a number of followers on social media, maybe they have a big drum they can beat to get people to listen to them. But I'm confused because when I was growing up, an influencer was often a teacher, wasn't it? It was a coach, maybe. It was a good parent that could speak life into you. It was a good friend who was an influencer. I remember having friends and my mom and dad, I sound like I'm a southerner. No? My mom and dad would be like, you don't hang out with that person. They're a bad influence on you. Did you ever have that story? Far too often, and it's like, whatever, you don't know, Mom. But now my kids know. I know. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher that was a good influencer to you. So today, though, unfortunately, culture has taken this term and hijacked it, and many people say, well, an influencer is a celebrity. Last week, Kobe Bryant passed away on Sunday, and everybody's talking about what change he brought and all this, and maybe it's different athletes. Wayne Gretzky was an influencer, you know? Mel Gibson was an influencer. I'm trying to think of actors, and the old next name that pops in my head is Danny DeVito, and I don't think he was an influencer, but you know what I'm saying, right? Celebrity. John Wayne, yeah. Someone who amassed this great number of followers, and now it's the followers on social media. In fact, I gave up looking for an article online that talked about an influencer as anything beyond social media or celebrity status because it was a futile search. So what I want to try to do is I want to reclaim for us the word influencer. And I want you to see yourself as an influencer because you have no idea what God could do with one word of encouragement that you can give to someone else. And I'm going to say this statement lots this morning, because this is kind of my buzz statement for the morning. The fact that you have no idea what God could use one word of encouragement you give someone, one word or expression of love or faith that could change someone's life. We have that opportunity to be an influencer. For those of you that are disciples of Jesus, I want to show you exactly what Jesus says you are. That's really the purpose. And for those of you that might not be or journeying towards that, I want you to see what he's called you to do or to be. So in Matthew 5, Jesus uses two metaphors. What does he say in verse 13? He says, you are the salt of the earth, right? You're the salt of the earth. And if you look back at our poster at the back, not everybody turn their necks at once. Come on, people. I've got a salt shaker, and we have a light bulb to remind us that we're called to be the salt of the earth. And then in verse 14, we're called to be the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That would just be stupid, wouldn't it? Why would you do that? Doesn't make sense. Instead, they put it on us. They need to put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. That's what we're to do. We're to put our light on a stand so we can give light to this community. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So I have a couple questions. I have lots of questions today for you. It's going to be interactive, okay? What does salt do? Salt preserves. That's right. What else does salt do? It makes stuff taste better. It adds flavor. It purifies things. So I want you, what?
It brings out the best flavor.
Bang. So I want you to turn to whoever, somebody beside you, and say, you're kind of salty. See, because for years people said, you can't put salt on things. It's going to raise whatever, cholesterol or something like that. I'm sure. I can't remember what. Does anybody remember what that was? Blood pressure. Okay. But like Nathan said, salt brings out the best taste, doesn't it? I don't need MSG on my Chinese food. I just need some salt. So now, tell the neighbors beside you that you're kind of shiny. Why would we say that? But because Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're shiny. You're shiny. We need to put that light on our stands. We need to give light to everyone in the house, right? That's what it says. Let your light shine so that the people of this community, within our church, can see your good deeds, see what God has done in you. Let's reclaim the meaning of influencer in our lives. See, I think one of the problems with our current view of the word influencer is that influencer typically starts with platform. That's where it typically starts. The size of your platform. How many followers do you have? How many people will listen to you? Right? And those are important things. Don't get me wrong when I say that. The people that you have an opportunity to let your light shine for, to add salt to, that's important. But the fact that it doesn't just need to be platform. I think it starts somewhere different. I think it starts with people before platform. When we're adding saltiness to the people, that every person that we come in contact with, when we bring that light with us to every person we come in contact with. See, the platform comes. It always comes. But we need to start with people before platform, because when we put ourselves on the platform before we are ministering to people, we don't know what to do when we get to the people in the platform. Do you know what I'm saying? Did I just talk you in a circle there? Here's what you need to worry about. People before platform. We need to worry about those that we come in contact with and not how big our platform is for those people that are following us. That's what I'm saying. I believe that true and lasting influence always starts with people before platform. Do you have people in your life? Who has people in their life? Oh, everybody. We all have people in our life. Well, then we have opportunities to be an influencer, don't we? So let's reclaim that true meaning of influencer. I think one of the problems with our current view is that platform. The world wants us to believe the size of your platform determines the scope of your influence. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the size of your platform. It matters the people that you come in contact with and the light that you bring and the salt that you bring. Be a salt, be a light to all that you come in contact with. Be that influencer. I hope I didn't mess up your slides there. So I want to show you a story today of the most unlikely influencer perhaps in the New Testament, okay? And the story takes place in John 4. And it's about a woman that nobody thought would have influence. So Jesus was on this trip, and on his journey he was going to pass through Samaria, which was an unusual choice because the disciples would not have expected him to do that. Because Jews don't really interact with Samaritans, because Samaritans, they were half-breeds. Can I say half-breeds? They're half-bloods. Half-bloods might be better. They were Métis, kind of, right? They were half-Jew, half-Gentile. And Jews hated Samaritans. They hated them. And Jews believed that Samaritans were less than human. They were worse than dogs. You would never have interacted with a Samaritan if you were a Jew, especially a Samaritan woman. I know, they gasps. And Jesus shocks everybody when he sits down at this well in the middle of the day in order to rest. And a Samaritan woman comes up to him, and Jesus asks her for what? For a drink. He asks her for a drink. He dignifies her by starting this conversation, and this woman is thrown completely off guard. And Scripture says in verse 9, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you the living water." So the woman was surprised. She's shocked. She's overwhelmed. She's beside herself. She never expected this. This is unheard of. It doesn't happen. No Jewish man would approach a Samaritan woman. This is kind of weird, isn't it? That she's so surprised, she's so shocked. See, Jews refuse to have anything to do with them. You need to put yourself in this context here and understand the repulsiveness of these Samaritans to Jews. And yet, Jesus is talking to her. And like she says there, "You're a Jew? I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for anything? Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replies to her with love. Like, if you really grasp what just transpired by the very fact that he asked her something, and by her response of like, "Why are you even talking to me? Like, I'm lower than you. You shouldn't be speaking to me." And Jesus gives her that love. And you could sense his love when he says, "If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." Jesus is just offering this to her. And she's intrigued and confused and says, "Sir, but you don't have a bucket." That's what she says to him. "And the well is deep. How can I get you water?" And in verse 13, Jesus replies, "And anyone who drinks of this water, this natural water, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give will never be thirsty again." See, the woman notices something different about this man. And she says, "Please, sir," what does she ask? Where are we? The woman says, hang on. Okay, we'll get there. "Please, sir, may I have some living water?" That's what the woman asked. I must have messed up on your slides, sorry. So then if we jump to John 4, 16 to 19. After she asks for that living water, what happens? What does Jesus say to her? He says, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. And she said, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with." "You certainly spoke the truth, sir," the woman said. "You must be a prophet." See, this wasn't a Jewish man. Or there wasn't a Jewish man anywhere, sorry, that would have interacted with this woman. If you look at history back then, see, Jesus approaches her with this love in his heart and dignifies her and honors her all the time, knowing that she is an outcast in her community. Divorced 5 times, she's shacking up in Israel. Seriously, think about the times back then. Think about what was going on. Think about culture. She would have been an unspeakable, let alone she's a Samaritan woman. Boy, why would Jesus talk to her? But yet he comes to her with love. He comes to her with grace. He actually speaks to her. She would have been shunned, and here Jesus is talking to her, interacting with her. She's the woman that everybody in town probably whispered about. when she was walking around, keep your husbands away from that lady. Right? Look out, girls. She's coming to town. Get your husbands locked up. I don't know. Maybe that's what was happening. These comments could get me in trouble later. See, but Jesus, knowing all that, doesn't look at her as an immoral woman, but instead as a miracle waiting to happen. Knowing that a touch from heaven could completely change her heart, and it dawns on her, wait a minute, we've heard that this Messiah is coming. I've heard perhaps that this man is doing miracles and raising dead and opening blind eyes. Why would a Jewish man speak to me? She's probably thinking. Why would he show me honor and respect and know everything about me and everything about my life? Perhaps this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the one we've been praying for. I don't know what was going through the lady's head. Maybe she was like, perhaps this is the Messiah. And she leaves her water there and runs back to the village. And the Bible says it directly. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everybody, come and see a man who told me everything I've done. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So what happened? The people came streaming from the village to see Jesus. So what do we see from this powerful story? First off, I think we see that no matter how badly your life could be messed up or where you're at in your situation, you're not too far gone for the love of Jesus to reach into your life and bring you in and tell you. And I'm so thankful for that. And as I've shared throughout this series and the last couple series, I'm so thankful for the mess that he brought me from. And as Nathan even shared earlier during our prayer time, the mess that the Lord brought him from. And I'm sure all of us have some of those stories. John shared a bit about it. We all have this story. And I think we become believers and we like to say, well, that happened, but yeah, I'm going to shove it in the box and throw it away. And the next person that comes through that I don't like their story, I'm going to tell them I don't like their story, rather than saying, Jesus is enough. No matter how far you've gone, he's enough and he wants to know you. You need to change. We need to walk together. We see this town outcast, the one that everybody else would have whispered about, going and enthusiastically telling people, this may be the one. This might be the one. This might be the Messiah. And the broken woman, the messed up woman, the woman that everybody whispered about, the one that had been called this immoral woman, town hussy, whatever you want to say for that type of a woman, I don't know. That one might get me in trouble. It's okay. I can't just think of the words to describe, so I'm sorry. But do you understand what I'm saying? This woman. And she becomes an influencer. When the Lord just offers it to her, she becomes an influencer. And we all have that opportunity when we've accepted Christ to become an influencer. Her story shows us that even though you just got saved, you have an opportunity to be an influencer. When you just made that step, you have an opportunity to be an influencer. We all have an opportunity to be an influencer. Our type of influence may change as we grow in the Lord, but we all, right from the minute of becoming saved, have an opportunity to become an influencer. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to have a seminary degree. Your prayer voice doesn't need to sound so eloquently beautiful. It just needs to be a heart that wants to change the world. You don't need to be the type of person that can quote, well, Luke 12:23 says, you know, you don't need to do that. You just need to show Christ's love in you. That's all you need to do. You need to grow towards him and show him to others through your life. Nobody's called you to be perfect. Has anybody ever been called to be perfect? Oh, Bill, you're going to get in trouble later. Just at home, eh? At least we're honest here. But I pray that none of us call each other to be perfect, because Christ didn't call us to be perfect. All we're called to do is walk closer to Him each day, get to know Him more, accept Him as our Savior. You don't have to have all the things fixed in your life to be an influencer. You just have to know Jesus and care about those around you. And you can immediately start becoming the light in this world. You can immediately becoming the salt to those around you. Just care about those. You don't need 4,000 followers on your Twitterverse. You don't need 6,000 people checking out your Instagram profile and pictures of, oh, here's my morning coffee with my Bible, just about to get out there and spend some time with the Lord. You don't need that. You just need to care. You just need to love. You just need to share Christ's love in you. Because you have no idea how one word of encouragement, one word of hope, one expression of love can influence somebody towards Jesus. See, this woman goes back to the village, right? She goes back to the village. She runs back to the village, actually. And tells everybody. And then the disciples come back. And they come back to Jesus, and guess what? They're hungry. And they said to Jesus, "Have you eaten, Jesus?" And Jesus goes all spiritual on them here, doesn't he? If you recall this story. And he says, "My food is to do the will of God." I like that answer. I prefer potlucks, but... And then he said this, "The field is ripe for harvest." And he uses this farming metaphor. "And the harvest is always about changed lives," he said. "The field is ripe for harvest, but the laborers are, they're few. For our purpose," we could say it this way. "Listen, church, the field is ripe, but the influencers are few. Are we willing to be an influencer? Don't let culture rob you from your calling by categorizing influencers as someone who only has a social media following or who only does commercials. Today is the Super Bowl, the big game, I guess. I don't know if I'm allowed to say Super Bowl. Nobody really from the NFL will listen to our San Francisco Giants. Nobody from the NFL might be listening to this message today, so I'll be okay saying Super Bowl, I think. And if they do, great, they can come to church with us. But it's not going to be the influence from the halftime commercials that are going to influence this world for good. It's not going to be the two girls doing a halftime show, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. Not going to be them two, right? They're not influencing the world for good. We are. And we need to stand up and we need to believe that we're influencers. This woman, this woman goes back to her town and tells everyone. Everyone. And if we jump to verse 39, the next part of the story says, "Many Samaritans." That statement alone would have been so shocking that anyone believed that one Samaritan could come to faith. They would have been shocked. But many Samaritans from their village believed in Jesus after that. Why? Because one influencer, one woman decided that it was time to be an influencer, to change her town, to run to the town and tell people, "He's here." And we have that opportunity. See, this woman goes back and says, "Jesus told me everything I did." And when they came to see Jesus, they begged for him to stay in their village. And so he stayed for 2 days. Long enough for many more to come and hear this message and believe. So who did God use? Not the Instagram star, like I said. Not Shakira or J-Lo. I'm guessing it's the right Jennifer. I don't think Jennifer Lawrence sings. But not even a celebrity like Jennifer Lawrence. Not a content creator. Not somebody that does things that people see on every platform. A regular, ordinary, everyday, broken person that sinned. who's been transformed by Jesus and changed, that's who he used as his influencer. See, you have influence exactly where you are. After I decided enough was enough and I started telling people about Jesus and what he did for me, God was still working at me. God's still working at me continually every day. Because you spend time with him and he shows you new things and helps you understand more. But as soon as that happened, I was sharing the love that Jesus had shown me. I was sharing it with others because I wanted to influence others for Christ. And don't we all want that? Don't we all want to be an influencer for him? If we don't, I'm in the wrong town. I hope that we all want to. I hope I'm not just talking for myself to talk. I pray that inside of us something stirs and says, I am an influencer. We all have that opportunity. We're all called to be an influencer. Why? Because you have no idea what one word of encouragement, one expression of love can mean to someone who needs a very small touch of God's love. The music team can come up. So when you greet people, when they come to church, when you help someone who's so uncomfortable or nervous to be here, they just want to maybe feel some love or some compassion, or they just want to know that it's okay to be here, you have an opportunity to be an influencer. When you're in the grocery line at Co-op, or I always call it Extra Foods, but the ShopEasy, you have an opportunity to be an influencer. When Joe at Co-op is, I don't know if there's a Joe at Co-op, so I shouldn't say a name. When some guy at Co-op's pumping your gas, be an influencer. When you listen to someone who's hurting at work, when you're at the Co-op just walking through, you have an opportunity to represent the love of Christ by not judging and by just loving them, and simply because you are an influencer. You're called to be an influencer. When you post a scripture or repost a sermon clip on your social media, you could influence someone. You don't know. Maybe just by the way we stand here on Sunday mornings and sing. And I pray we really sing with everything in us, every cell in our being. By the way we carry ourselves in the church or outside of the streets, by those we come in contact with, we can be an influencer. Don't let culture rob you of what God's called you to be, and that's an influencer. It's not just pastors the influencer. You're all influencers, and you all have an opportunity to be an influencer with everybody you're around. If you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with him, then you are the salt and you are the light in this community. Let your salt do what salt does, whether it be make things taste wonderful, cancel the MSG, I'm in. MSG doesn't sit well here. It's just, but salt is okay. It brings good flavor. It purifies and it preserves. Let light do what light does. What does light do? Shines. It gets rid of the darkness. Let's be an influencer and get rid of the darkness around us. God has created you to influence others and to share the love of Jesus. So let's do that. Let's stand. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray. Father God, I thank you. Thank you, God, that you give us opportunities to be influencers. You've called us to be influencers in this town. You've called us to be influencers in this church. And I pray that we take what you've called us to do and we stand on it and we share it and we influence the world around us, that we influence our church for positive change, that we influence this community, we influence this world for you. And Father, for those that are believers in you, Father, I pray that we would just take that and run with it, and we would influence every person we come in contact with. Not just today, but tomorrow and for the rest of our lives, the rest of the time that we have on this earth, I pray that we would be influencers for you. And for those that don't know you, Jesus, those that are journeying towards you or trying to understand what you have, Father, I pray that you would stir their hearts, Father. You would call them to you. And Father, I pray that the influencers would step up and share your love with those that are on their journey to you. Father, I pray that we would allow our influence to even go as far as inviting someone to church so that they can be influenced by other influencers. Father, change our town. Let us be an influence for you. Father, go with us this week and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, Mary and the team are going to lead us in a song, and then I'm going to catch you at the front door. Don't sneak out the back. I want to see you at the front and give you a high five or a handshake. Would you guys sing with us?